Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ and seekers of the truth, this is the 404th edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria, and the title of today's message is Aging Like Caleb. We're going to focus on the story of Caleb and when he took his mountain in Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 through 12. You know, last week we had dinner with Becky and Bill. Those of you who follow along every week, you know we closed the outreach, the Sozo's outreach in export. It just was a season that had passed, and we still have the ministry, and so we get together with Becky and Bill in fellowship, and we're praying and seeking God's direction for that ministry. But we were talking, and Becky said, the topic of growing old came up, and it wasn't long till the story of Caleb come up, and it just struck me. I said, Becky, I was just praying about doing a message on that. So as we journey on with Joshua, and you know, Canaan there is compared to our promise of victory in Jesus Christ. But as we journey on through this story of Joshua, I'd like to spend a little time talking about his special friend, Caleb. You know, those were the only two from that generation that got to pass into the promised land. So I'd like to get started by reading our focus scripture. Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 through 12. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kezite said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me into Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again, as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day of Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. Folks, did you notice that when Caleb made this declaration and said, give me this mountain in verse 12, he was 85 years old and he still wanted to take the mountain. I'm telling you, folks, he was a fighter and he wanted to live. Yet sadly today, there are so many Christians who are merely eking out an existence, you know, wasting away and losing time as their lives melt away. Oh, I'm too old for that. Oh, I don't think I could do that. They're simply drawing a paycheck, just like they draw breath. They're living life in defeat. And you want to know why? Well, it's very simple. They haven't surrendered their wills to the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, I'm telling you, God doesn't want you and me to live in a valley of depression, regardless of what our external circumstances may appear to be like with regard to age, health, wealth, whatever. He doesn't. He wants us to live high up on top of that mountain of victory, just like Caleb. He does. So we ought to be living in the full light of his glory on the top of the mountain that God's given you and me, just like he gave to Caleb. Now, Caleb was the type of man that just refused to grow old. And isn't that an inspiration? Let's call him the Bible's first spiritual mountaineer. Amen? And let's learn some powerful lessons from this life of this guy we know as Caleb. Remember, the Bible says, now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. So remember, the promised land, that represented our life in Christ, our release from bondage, you know, bondage in sin, self, and Satan. Our chains have been cut free. It also represents rest. Yet few Christians truly find rest in Christ, and that's so sad. And remember, Joshua represents Christ leading us to that victory. So what's Caleb represent? Well, Caleb represents the Christian, ready to conquer his Canaan and possess his possessions and receive the promises that God has given to him. That's you and me, folks, if we truly understand who we are in Christ Jesus. So in this study, we're going to look at four truths concerning this man named Caleb. First of all, let's look at his character. In Joshua chapter 14, we ought to look at these verses in a little more detail. In verse 8, Caleb speaks and he says, But I wholly followed the Lord my God. Then in verse 9, he says, Because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. That's Moses making him this promise. And then notice in the last part of verse 14, because he fully or wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. So three times, God says it three times to us, that Caleb wholly followed the Lord. Three times. And you know what that means? It's important. So Caleb was a very peculiar man who gave God his all. And that's what we all need to do. We need to put our hands up in the air and say, forsaking all, I trust him. We have to give every inch, every ounce, every nerve, and every fiber of our very being. We have to give it to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to follow him with all we are. Now, I wonder how many of you listening right now could say, you know, I've given everything to Jesus. I'm all in. I've surrendered 100% of my very being to God. Can you say that? Now, you may be thinking, well, God doesn't expect that of me because I'm just a layman. I'm not in the ministry. Well, if you think like that, folks, you're 100% wrong, and that's stinking thinking, I'm telling you, because God deserves everything you've got. And if you haven't given God everything you've got, then you're not living up to the name Christian. You're not. So everything you have belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we all ought to say, with all that's in me, I want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you doing that? A half-hearted religion, quote unquote, won't do that. You know, the half-hearted will be faint in the prospect of going after their Canaan, of possessing their possessions. They'll look at it. Oh, you mean I have to stand out in faith and pray that Terry's going to be healed? You mean I have to stand out in faith and believe that the Lord's going to deliver our business? You mean I have to stand in faith and believe that my mother is going to be healed? Folks, that's exactly what we have to do. The faint-hearted will never conquer their Canaan. They'll never possess their possessions. Apostle Paul said, this one thing I do, Philippians 3:13, and that's what made him such a great man. That's the one thing he does. And then he says, now that you're saved, how do you continue? By the same way you were saved, by faith. You know, God's not impressed with your church attendance. He isn't. Or when you show up every Sunday in your glad rags, you know, and tip your hat to him, I'm telling you, Almighty God won't be satisfied with anything less than total surrender to him. So ask yourself, are you surrendering to him? Have you surrendered to Jesus? And if not, why not? You know, Jesus didn't bathe this world in his blood, folks, to have you serve the world, your flesh, and the devil. We belong to Jesus. We're not our own. We're bought with a price, the ultimate price, the blood of Jesus Christ. Imagine what God could do with a world full of believers who wholly, completely, totally, absolutely gave themselves over to him. Folks, are you willing to do that? Well, that's the character of this man, Caleb, and that's how we ought to model our life in Christ. Now, I want to look at his confidence with you. You know, this character of his, all in for Jesus or all in for the Lord, led to his confidence. So this was a man who was all in for the Lord, sold out for the Lord, and that gave him great confidence. Let's listen to how this phrase is written. The Lord said, okay? So that phrase or something like it runs all through this passage of Scripture. Thou knowest the things the Lord said, Joshua 14:6. You know, he's saying, remember what God said. The thing that the Lord said. In verse 10, and now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive as he said. That's the last part of verse 10. He says, the Lord spake this word unto Moses. So twice in verse 10. And then as I'm looking through here, verse 12. Okay. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake. And then again in the last part, as the Lord said. You see that it's over and over and over again. The Lord spake. God promised, and Caleb believed. So now we know where his confidence comes from. It's from the very word of God. God said it, so Caleb believed it. What was his weapon of warfare? You know, was it a big sword? Was it a battle axe? No, it was the word of God. And Caleb had a mountain that he wanted to conquer. Why? Because God gave him that mountain. So he went up on that mountain with the sword in his hand, and that sword was the word of God. But he also went up into that mountain with the deed to the mountain. He had it right there in his pocket because God had already given it to him. The Lord promised it to him, so he had this confidence, this abounding, overflowing confidence because it was in the Word of God. The Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Folks, we all ought to be like that. And then Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6, listen to this. The Lord hath said so that we may boldly say. So, folks, I'm just encouraging right now. Take the word of God. Soak your soul in it. Okay, saturate yourself with it. Hide God's word in your heart so you can say, just like Caleb said, God has said. How many times during the day do you just have a scripture verse pop up? Do you know what God said in this book? Do you understand that these words are eternal promises. Do you know these promises? Do you know what made Caleb such a great man? Caleb believed the word of God, folks. And do you know why he believed the word of God? Because in his heart, his pure heart, okay, was this fertile soil for the seed of God's word to, you know, sprout and find root and grow. So Caleb had a trust in God that we all need today. And this character that trusted God led to confidence. Okay, and this confidence led to the next truth about his being, okay? And we need to embrace this, folks, and that's his courage. Caleb had courage, okay? So his confidence led to courage. And the point is that as Christians, we need to be bold. And we're never going to be bold. We're never going to have courage. We're never going to be able to do these great works in Christ until we have a pure heart and God's word's hidden in our heart. Now, when that happens, look out. I'm telling you, we're going to have this kind of courage that God intended you and me as the bride of Christ to have. Now, this place, Hebron, is a very rich place. Today, there are vineyards there. So if you went to the Holy Land and you went to Hebron where all this was happening on that mountain that God promised Caleb, you'd see vineyards. And this is the place where Caleb went and the spies went with him. And they carried that huge branch of grapes. It took two men to carry it. It's that land that flowed with milk and honey. There was corn and wine and grapes and figs. It was all there in Hebron. It was a very rich land, okay? But there were some adversaries there. And there had to be a great power in the people that took that land. They couldn't be sitting in a rocking chair. Remember, Caleb was 85 years old. He wasn't sitting there in a rocking chair. Woe is me. No, he took the mountain. He took this rich land. And the point I'm trying to make here is there's no cheap, easy, lazy way to victory. Forget about that. Now, I know Caleb had opposition, and he had to overcome the opposition. This just wasn't easy street. But I want you to know that the door to the room of opportunity that's in your life and my life. And there's a door there in our life that we have to open and pass through. It swings on a hinge of opposition to God and his plan for you and me. So there's a little resistance. When you open that door, you gotta push. Okay? And when that door is pushed, and that resistance or the adversaries we have in our life, okay, whether they're people or things or events or circumstances, they're overcome through courage. So what were some of the adversaries, some of the opposition that Caleb had to overcome? Well, first of all, I'll call it the grasshopper syndrome, okay? Remember, 45 years before, he went out to spy the land when he was 40 years old. He says, when 40 years I was, when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me into Kadesh Barnea to spy the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. So he brought back a good report to Moses. Nevertheless, my brethren went up with me, made the heart of the people melt. So the other folks that went with him, except for Joshua, were naysayers. Oh, we can't do it. We're grasshoppers. So the Bible goes on to tell us exactly how their hearts melted. So these 10 men went out and they came back and they said in Numbers chapter 13, verse 33, there's an account of their report. And there we saw giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. So the friends of Caleb, his fellow spies, they had what I'll call the grasshopper syndrome or the grasshopper complex. And that's what's wrong with so many believers in our churches today. We've got this grasshopper complex. We got all this garbage going on in the world right now. All this stuff. I don't even know where to start. You know all the things that are going on with the censoring of conservative information on YouTube. I've even noticed my listenership drop on this. I mean, significant. 75% drop over the last 2 or 3 weeks. What's going on here? I don't know, folks, if you're having trouble getting this message or whatever, let me know, but something's going on. So we as Christians, we just say, oh, we can't do it. Look what they're doing to us. We can't speak out against all this craziness with regard to gender identity and everything else that has happened. Come on. You know what's coming next? Pedophilia and bestiality. Mark my words, folks. That's coming next. And when we say there's nothing we can do, we're allowing that grasshopper complex to well up inside of us. And I know that as I teach and preach the Word of God, okay, I know that I'm going to have opposition. And I know there are going to be people out there, as I speak out against these things, that say, he's crazy, he doesn't know what he's talking about. You know, there's people that will say, that bro Kenny's a nut. He talks about giving everything to the Lord, surrendering it all. He's a religious fanatic. Nobody can live that way. Well, you know what, folks? If you talk like that, you have the grasshopper complex. You may be thinking, there are too many giants in the land. We'll never be able to have victory. But do you know that before a Christian or a church can do anything great, it has to overcome this complex? And there are a lot of grasshoppers out there, a lot of things that will cause us to view ourselves as grasshoppers. You know, a lot of people sit around and say, it just can't be done. It won't be done. It shouldn't be done. It's not politically correct. Well, guess what? This isn't politically correct. This is the truth. So what do? We pull in. We retreat back to what we think is relative safety, you know, in the desert waste. And why? Because there are no giants out there. But guess what? There's also no opportunity out there. There's no grapes out there. There's no wheat and honey and barley. And there's no souls to win in the desert. So that's a Christian who fails to possess his possessions. That's a Christian with the grasshopper complex. But thank God that Caleb didn't follow the majority and buy into that grasshopper complex. So Caleb overcame the grasshopper complex, and he had to before he could overcome the giants. And that's the next thing he overcame, the giants. Caleb said, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. That's in verse 12. Now the Anakims, they were these giants, okay? And there were giants in those days. I mean, huge giants with six fingers and six toes, two rows of teeth. They still find these people in the archaeological records. And then what happens is the experts from the Smithsonian, the Carnegie, and any other great museum of antiquities, they swoop in, box up the bones, and that's the last you heard of it. And why? Because it destroys their narrative of evolution. And it supports the Bible, and they cannot have the Bible supported. But it's been proven, I'm telling you, by archaeology that's being suppressed by the establishment. And if you'd like to read more about this, send me an email at kdbeer1961@gmail.com, and I'll send you some good reading material on strange giant bones that have been found all over the world. In fact, there's a whole lot of them right here in western Pennsylvania. Caleb said, I know the giants are there. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. So he had to face this grasshopper complex of all of his people. And then he had to face giants. And there are some spiritual giants that you and me have to face. But those giants, they didn't bother Caleb, and they shouldn't bother you and me either. He was actually kind of excited to get there and battle them. So remember, when he first went the first time, 45 years before, to spy out the land, he saw those giants. And when he came back to Moses and gave his report to the people, in Numbers chapter 14, verses 8 and 9, listen to what he said. The Lord delight in us, that he will bring us into the land and give us the land, which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither ye fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Did you hear what Caleb called these giants in that passage? Bread. He said they're bread for us. Now, bread's something we eat. And what's it do? It gives us strength. It enlarges ourselves. It makes us bigger. We grow when we eat bread. So Caleb's saying these giants, they're not going to defeat us. They're going to be the way we grow. No pain, no gain. You know what I'm talking about, folks? So Caleb's saying, we're going to feed on them. We're going to feast on them. You know, in that sense, the Anakim was the breakfast of the champion Caleb. Amen? The point is that we're going to encounter a lot of difficulties in our life. So if you're sitting there thinking, well, I don't want to face any problems. I don't want to have any difficulty. You got to understand something, folks. Without difficulties, you don't grow strong. You know, if a plant doesn't have some stress by wind, okay, by motion, their stalks grow very weak. But with a gentle breeze, that stem grows stronger and stronger, and it can support itself. That's a stress in the life of the plant. And likewise, we need to face these difficulties. We need to push against those hinges of opposition. And when we do, we grow strong. So eat your bread, sit down and gobble it up, okay? The Bible says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. That's out of Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. Oh, folks, if we could only understand that these things we think are so difficult aren't difficulties, they're opportunities. They're the resistance that we have to press against to make ourselves strong. You know the difference between a pessimist and an optimist? A pessimist sees difficulty in every opportunity, whereas an optimist sees opportunity in every difficulty. So they're both elements are there, opportunity, difficulty. It's just how it's viewed. Aren't you glad that Caleb could see from God's viewpoint? God's viewpoint is opportunity in difficulty. An unbeliever, a doubter, their viewpoint is difficulty in every opportunity. So that's how we need to start seeing things from God's viewpoint. And we've got to get over that grasshopper complex. And the reason so many folks today have the grasshopper complex is because they look at giants from the world's viewpoint, from their view, not from God's. The truth is we need to look at giants from God's position. We need to stop saying, look how much bigger he is than I. Think about David when he fought Goliath. What would have happened if David looked up at that giant and did it from his perspective instead of God's? We need to start saying, look how much smaller that giant is than God. I can take him. You know, if you get up in an airplane way up high and look down, things don't look so big anymore, do they? In fact, people look like ants as you take off and as you prepare to land. You can't even see people when you're way up there. You know, from an airplane at low altitude, you can't even tell if a 7-foot man is a 4-foot man or vice versa. The point is, from up there, all the people look like ants. They all look the same. And what I'm trying to tell you is that whatever you think your problem is, from God's perspective, it's really small. That's right. The Bible says we are seated with Jesus in the heavenlies. So look at it from God's perspective. We need to start viewing opposition from God's view. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. So there's no giant of doubt. I'm telling you, folks, no giant of distress or fear or sin that won't fall before a Christian filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? We need to be living victorious lives. That's the point. We have the Word of God in our heart. We believe God and his promise for victory, then go take that mountain. You know, I'm so sick and tired of people in the faith walking around with these defeatist attitudes. The church of the living God is to move out like a mighty army, folks. We're to say, just like Caleb said, I want that mountain. It belongs to me. God gave it to me, and I didn't come for defeat. I came for victory. Amen? So Caleb had this character, and he totally sold out to the Lord. He was all in. And then that character gave him confidence. And then that confidence, he believed the Lord. The Lord gave him a promise, and he believed it, and that confidence gave him courage. Courage not only to overcome the grasshopper and the giant issues, but the point of this whole message, the gray hairs that were on his head. He was 85 years old. And like I titled this message, what did I call it here? I called it Aging Like Caleb. So this confidence and this courage that led to this this character that he had, he was able to overcome this complex about being small in the eyes of the world, weak in the eyes of the world. And he was able to overcome his opposition that looked so big from his perspective, but he was also able to overcome these gray hairs. In verse 10, lo, I am this day 85 years old. So even though he was 85 years old, Caleb says, as yet I am as strong as the day I was in the first day that Moses sent me when he was 40. So he's just as strong today as he was when he was 40. Isn't that an inspiration? The point is that God supernaturally preserved him, and God will supernaturally preserve you and me until our work here is done. The Holy Spirit quickens us. The Holy Spirit gives our mortal bodies life. He said, the Lord kept me, as he said. You know, God told Caleb, it may be a long time, but when you get there, you're going to be able to do it. That's what I think happened in one of his quiet times with God. Now, we don't know that in the Bible for sure, but that's what I believe. And that's making me very confident that when God makes a promise, he's going to provide us the strength, regardless of our age, to claim it. So it's God who preserves us so that we can possess our possessions. God preserved this man, Caleb, so that he could fulfill his promise to him. Well, if God has a promise for you, he's going to preserve you so you can do it. You know, God works both ends of the equation. He said, here's something over here, and it's for you, it's yours. And then he comes over and he gives you the strength and the ability and guides you and provides for you so that you can have it. He did that to Caleb, who was 85. He'll do it for a teenager. He'll do it for an invalid. He'll do it for whoever sells out to Jesus. Whatever it takes, God will provide. It's his promise. So Caleb had courage. Courage over all three of these conditions. The grasshopper complex, the giants, and the gray hairs. And he moved on to take his possessions for God. Now, finally, there's one last quality to this man, Caleb, that I'd like to look at, and that's his conquest. He had a character, okay, that led to confidence. And he had a confidence that led to courage, okay? And he had a courage that led to conquest. So because of all these elements in him building into this one point, he was able to go out and conquer. So victory is God's plan for you and me, folks. You know what that name Hebron means? It means fellowship. So Caleb's saying, I want that mountain called the fellowship of God. And did you know that he took the whole mountain? That mountain stands for fullness. All that God had for him was found in that mountain. Plus Hebron's noted for its fruitfulness. So Caleb's saying, I want to live in that mountain of fellowship, fullness, and fruitfulness. And isn't that what God wants for each of us as believers? Isn't that how you'd want to live? On the mountaintop of fellowship with God? In a vineyard full of fruitfulness? Wouldn't you like to be in the presence of the fullness of God? Well, it's there for you, folks. Don't you want to completely possess the possessions that God promised you so that the fruit of the Spirit will just manifest in you, overflow in you? Isn't that what you want to live? Well, you can. Now, to do so, you got to conquer some giants in your life, and we all have them. You have to drive them out. Now, these giants in Joshua had names. We see that in chapter 15, verse 5. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak. So each of these three names, they have a meaning. Sheshai means who I am. So there's a giant in your life and mine, okay? It's all about me, okay? What I am, okay? Who I am. Now, Amon means what I am, and Talmai means what I can do. So when you start looking at these three things, it's who I am, what I can do. And they're the three biggest giants that any of us will battle in our battle of self. And that's the bigger battle than sin or Satan. It's the battle we have over self. Who I am, what I can do. Isn't that something? Sheshai, Amon, Talmai. Who I am, what I can do. That's the giant of ego, who I am. That's the giant of pride, what I am. That's the giant of self-reliance, what I can do. And these three giants put a hand between our face and the face of God. And did you ever try to talk to somebody when you have a hand before you? Put your hand in front of somebody and try to talk to them. It's very distracting. You can't do it. Likewise, we can't have fellowship with the Lord when we have ego and pride and self-reliance between us and God. So if you want to live a life of victory, folks, the point I'm trying to make is that you got to surrender it all. You got to lay it all down. Lay down your ego. Lay down your pride. Lay down your self-reliance. You got to defeat these giants in your life. We need to possess our possessions, but before we can, we have to defeat ourselves. Okay, it says crucify yourselves, and that's what it means. Now, to live this life of victory, day and night, night and day, the only way we do it is through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we really ought to be in that promised land, eating that luscious fruit, resting in the Lord. But to do so, we have to defeat these giants. We have to do that, folks. So if you want your mountain of Hebron, okay, you have to say, I want that mountain, okay? And there's a song that I'm going to play at the end here that talks about this. But you have to say, I want to come out of the wilderness. I want a witness that I can share with others. I want that mountain that belongs to me. It really does. So there's a lesson here that we can learn from Caleb. And I'm telling you, folks, the days are drawing short. Just look around. The signs of the times are all around us. I don't know how many hours or weeks or years we may have left to serve the Lord. But, you know, we need to be serving the Lord. So isn't it time that we stop being spectators and started saying, I want to be a mountain climber. I want that mountain. Give me that mountain. Why don't we all just go all in for God, okay? Let's just say, I'm going all in for you, Lord. I don't care how old I am. I want that mountain. It belongs to me. You promised it to me, Lord. Remember, God has promised that we'll always triumph in the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, I love y'all, but more importantly, God does too. So just take that mountain for God that he promised you, and provided he's willing, and we're still here, I'll be back next week with another message from his love letter, the Holy Bible. So let's take that mountain, amen? I love y'all.
So the giant of prayerlessness upon the mountain high, he laughed at my unbended knee. No more in the wilderness I'll stay, and so I cry, I want that mountain, it belongs to me. When faith is shining upon the crest of Hebron High, Jesus.